So, how many of you guys have ever been lost? Anybody? Anybody, does this experience sound familiar? Don't look at your significant other, okay? I know you want to stare at one of them. I can stare at mine because I'm up front, so I can just look at her. It's perfect, okay? So, I've had experiences like this before, right? You're driving, you're trying to figure out where you're going, and those of us who are driving that don't want to admit that we have no idea what's happening, okay, pretend like we're navigation experts, am I right? Anybody who ever says they're a navigation expert is lying. Okay, so let's just get that out of the way in the beginning. So my wife and I have this experience often when we're in Lancaster City. We love going to the city, but one of the problems is that the Google GPS doesn't exactly always, you know, point you in the right direction when you're in the midst of the city. What it thinks is a road is an alleyway just big enough to fit a bike. Okay, so you try to figure out where to go, and my wife and I will often get into situations like this where one of two things happens. Okay, she either tells me where to go, and I usually, trying to be a jerk, pretend like I really knew where I was going. I didn't. Okay, so that's one way it happens. Or another way it happens is she tells me 5 minutes later that I was supposed to turn at that turn that I just missed, which is super helpful in the moment. I don't know if you guys have ever been lost, but as I was thinking about what to speak about this morning, this question just kept emanating in my head. Why? How do we get lost? And what's the right way to go? See, we live in a complicated world today, a world with a lot of complex issues, from the big stuff, global stuff, like slavery and abuse and things that exist and violence, the big things. And then if we just ignore that, we still have the things that exist each and every day. Those complex family dynamics that you have to walk. Some of you guys are thinking about Christmas, okay? Those complex medical issues that some of you have to walk with every single day, to the complex work issues, to the person who cuts you off on the side of the road, every single part of our lives, at one point, some of us have had to ask the question, is there a right way to live amongst all of this craziness that we call life? See, I have come up with a theory, okay? I like doing this occasionally. I've looked at the world, and I think if we look back at this Cars video, we can think that really all of us are in this vehicle called life, trying to figure out which way to go. But everybody has a different opinion. Everybody has a different way. Is there a right way to live this life? See, it's that question I want to talk about this morning, because I'm going to be up front. I do think there's a right way. It's my way. No, I'm just joking. Okay, it's God's way. Okay? God's way. But what does that look like? How do we find it? What does that look like in our day-to-day when you go to work or you're at home with your kids and they're driving you insane? Don't look at them. Okay? Well, how do we do this? That's what I want to talk about this morning. See, in Scripture, we have a lot of examples of Jesus explaining the way, the big plan that he has, that the Father has. And what is very interesting about this is every time he explains the way, almost every time, somebody misses it. Somebody doesn't understand it. Somebody's confused. And one of my favorite characters in Scripture is Peter. And the reason for that is because Peter gives me a lot of hope. Okay? Because Peter always seems to miss the point. And in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 23, we have another example of this. You follow along on the screen or in your Bibles, it says this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. So, that escalated quickly, okay? Anybody be in conversations like this? You know, somebody says something you don't want, you're like, get behind me, Satan, okay? Not a lot of us, okay? This escalated very quickly. And to understand this passage, we need to understand what's going on. What I love about this passage is right before this passage in Matthew, we have another story with Peter and Jesus, and it's the story of when Jesus asks Peter, do you know who I am? Multiple times. And Peter finally, he nails it. He says, I am the Messiah, the Son or you are the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter nails this, right? Okay, and he gets it perfect. You're like, finally, Peter has it. And then immediately after that verse, this happens, right? Jesus explains his plan. Says, this is what is going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again in 3 days. Okay, this is what's going to happen to me. And Peter, because I love Peter, is like, hey, Messiah, Son of God, you know, Savior of the world. Just come here. That's real great. But you're wrong. Okay, that's not going to happen. I love it. Okay, Peter just before this says, you're the Son of God. And then he pulls the Son of God aside to say, hey, that plan, not going to happen. Okay? And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So here's the first thing we need to understand. If we're going to find our way in this life, we need to understand this, and it's very important. It's this, that God sees a perfect way, even when we don't. So we like to laugh at Peter and think he's ridiculous, but if you really understand what's going on in this verse, Peter's response doesn't seem so crazy, because back in Peter's time, they believed that the Messiah, they had this perfect picture of what it looked like to be the Messiah. Messiah was going to show up on probably a shining, awesome horse, okay, with a sword. He's going to lead the army, and they were going to tear down the Roman Empire. This was their picture of the Messiah. And so when the Messiah says, no, I'm going to die on a cross and raise again in 3 days and be tortured, Peter has zero categories for this option. Because to him, the Messiah should never be that. See, we laugh at Peter, but the reality is we do this all the time. God tells us something, but he doesn't give us all the information because he asks us to trust him. And then when life goes a direction that we don't expect, we react in a lot of different ways. From God, how could you do this? God, this can't be your plan. God, this can't work out. And if I've learned anything in the short time I've been on this earth, because I am still a youngin', that's what I tell myself, okay? So if I've learned anything in my short time on this earth, it's this, that we create this perfect picture of what we think following God looks like, because we think, if we're really honest with ourselves, and maybe it's just me, we think we really know what God's going to do. But the reality is, God's plans don't always make sense in the moment. There's a story that lives in legend in our family, and let me just preface this. If I am dead after this message, it was my mother, okay? I'm just going to tell you now, because I am going to die for this story, okay? So there's a story that lives in legend in our family. We were at this zoo this one time. I don't remember where at the zoo we were, but I remember we were looking at the different exhibits in the zoo, and we were looking at my personal favorite, the most exciting, the barn owl, okay? So the barn owl, I'm being sarcastic. It was super boring. It's an owl in a fake barn, okay? So, but we were looking at the barn owl, and so I got bored, and so I did what I normally do. I asked sarcastic, obnoxious questions, and my question was, I wonder what the barn owl was before barns existed, okay? Like, in my defense, I think it's a solid question, okay? Barns didn't always exist. Owls did. They couldn't always be barn owls, okay? That's my soapbox. I'm done. Okay, so ask this question, and my mom responds very quickly with, well, they were cave owls. Okay, and we just walked away. We're like, okay, sure, that sounds great, until some of us started thinking about it more. Okay, we're like, wait a second, cave owls? That doesn't make any sense. We're like, that can't be real. We're like, and so we push a little harder, and we find, here's the thing, my mom has this special ability, okay? I love her, she's one of the smartest people I know, but she also has a special ability to say things like she knows what she's talking about, but in reality, she has no idea, okay? So, I've inherited this a little bit, which is exactly what you want to hear from the guy preaching to you this morning, but this is what she did. So we find out that I researched this later on in life because I was preaching somewhere else and I used this story in a different message because it just flies everywhere you want to teach it. Okay, so I decided to Google this to find out if this was real or not. You know what barn owls were before they were barn owls? Okay, I'll give you a clue. It's not cave owl, okay? The answer was owl, okay? Google's like, they're just an owl, okay? This is what I found out. See, we laugh, but I tell you the story because we do this all the time with God. We think we understand how the world works and how the infamous God of the universe works, but we really don't. If I've learned anything, it's that I've made assumptions about God that were completely untrue. And so if we are going to find our way in this world, we need to understand that God's plans don't always make sense. He has a perfect way that we are not always going to understand. See, the reason for this is God has a better view than we do. Right? Jesus says to Peter, you're thinking of things in your way of thinking. Stop it. He doesn't say, get behind me, Satan, so that he can make Peter feel bad. He says, get behind me, Satan, because he's trying to get Peter to understand that the way you're thinking about things is so limited. And by doing that, you are opposing the plans I have for your life, the good plans I have for your life. You need to think of things differently. Think of things differently. Trust me, because my view is so much better than yours. See, I came in here planning to tell a bunch of stories about my family, so you're just going to have to deal with it because they hate me. But recently my family got this for Christmas. So my dad lucked into getting, if you don't know what this is, it's a virtual reality headset that I broke. It's one of those things you put on, you know, you see stuff, you know, that isn't actually there. So we were messing with this for Christmas, and you want to know what is so much more fun than playing with a VR headset? Watching other people play with a VR headset. Okay, it is so much more entertaining. If you haven't done this, YouTube it, because it is hysterical. So, both my sisters, okay, the whole Swords family is going to get hit this morning, with the exception of my dad, so good job, Dad. Okay, my sisters were wearing this VR headset, and it was hysterical. Now, I wanted to bring a video to you this morning, because I love everyone, but we couldn't find it, we lost it, so I'm just going to reenact it for you this morning, okay? So we're sitting on the couch, and both Jen and Elena, this applies to both of them, if you don't know who they are, one is there, and Elena's over there, okay? So, they were wearing these VR headsets in the living room. Okay, we're sitting on the couch watching them, and they've got them on like this, right? Okay? I'm going to reenact this. This is where it gets funny. Okay? It starts with this. Usually when they start looking around the room that doesn't actually exist, so it's usually like this, okay? And then they were doing a scary thing, so they would stand here like this in front of the couch, and then either Jen or Elena, it usually went like this. Ah! Ah! It like curled up into a ball, right? To those of us from the outside, this looks ridiculous because we know whatever weird robot or monster they're seeing on the screen is not real. It's fake. Virtual. Okay? Right? They look absolutely ridiculous. So here's the reality. Our relationship with God kind of goes this way. Things happen in our life, and we see it as the here and now. Things go away we didn't expect. We get a diagnosis we didn't expect. Life turns out the way we didn't expect. Our family turns out the way we didn't expect. The life takes a turn that we didn't expect, and it doesn't fit with the picture that we've created in our head of what it looks like to follow God. And if you're anything like me, you start to freak out a little bit. You start to worry. You start to get concerned. God, why are you doing this? And the reason this disconnection between us and God happens is because we can only see things from a certain view, and God has this wider picture of our lives. He says, no, I understand that's scary right now, but you need to understand there's a reason for this. I see everything because I am the God of the universe. Trust me. See, this is what happened for Peter, and this is what happens for each of us. God has a better view than we could ever have. God knew the situation that would happen in our country, in your lives, before you were even a thought in your parents' mind. Before Adam and Eve ever walked in the garden, God knew that you would exist, and He has had a plan for your life that involves Him, involves change in this world, involves your family, involves everything that you could possibly think of and can't think of. He's had a plan for it the whole time. And so we need to remember that God sees that perfect way, and there are going to be times that we don't see it. And it's in those times, most of all, that we need to trust God. To trust that He is in control. And listen, I know that's not easy. I know that can be terrifying. I've had moments in my life where things don't go the way I want. And I do what I naturally call, sorry high schoolers, what I naturally call the high school response, which is the world is ending. Okay? Here's the thing, it's not. God's in control. He knew what was going to happen in our country before it even happened. He knows everything that's going on. Nothing is outside the purview and control of the God of the universe. And so if we're going to find our way in this life, the first thing we need to understand is that the one who knows the way, always knows the way, and will never lose the way, is the God of the universe. So now what do we do with that? Well, we need to do this. See, because God doesn't want us just to sit back and watch. He wants us to take action, and that action is this: to jump head first into whatever God asks. To jump head first into whatever God asks. As my dad said, I worked at a church in Harrisburg for the last several years, up until just a couple months ago, as a youth pastor there, and oversaw our youth ministry and helped with the teaching team at our church. And while there, we had to plan these youth events, right? So I had this great idea the one summer. We had this guy at our church whose name was Dutch. Okay, and Dutch is a great guy, was in the military, used to do paratrooping, rappelled out of helicopters, you know, everything that we all do. Dutch was great. And so what he did after he retired was he decided he was going to start leading three trips to this cliff, like 15 minutes from our church, to do rappelling lessons and teach people how to rappel. So obviously, people in church love free things, so we were like, yeah, okay. So we took a whole bunch, but I got this idea. Let's do a youth trip. This seems like a great idea. Okay, so let's get it going. We'll get the few that are willing to climb a cliff on ropes, and we'll go rappel, right? So I was able to convince like 8 of our 30 students to go along. And it was me and a couple other leaders, and we went to this trip. Now, I also have this experience in my life that I like to call past Josh versus present Josh. And what that is past Josh has an idea, and then present Josh thinks past Josh was a moron, okay? So, and I had one of these moments, okay, at this rappelling, because this idea sounded great until I was standing in front of an actual cliff, okay? And I was standing there with students, and the first thought that passed my head is, you are an idiot if this is where you're going to die today, okay? You know, not overboard whatsoever, okay? So, this is my reaction, but of course, those guys who are youth leaders know that you can't show that you're freaked out while you're with the youth kids, because they're probably even more freaked out than you are, because they just left their bedroom. Okay, so, like, we're here, and I've got to just, you know, keep it cool and collected. So I'm like, yeah, it's all going to be great, you know. And in my head, okay, talk about a picture that you made in your head. I imagined, like, you know, full harnesses and lots of cool stuff, and Dex walks up to me with a rope. He was like, here's how you're going to tie it around yourself to make a harness. I was like, no. But Dutch gave it to me, and I can't do that because the kids have to be calm. So we're putting all this stuff up, then we're climbing up to the top of the cliff, which just makes you feel so much more comfortable. And then you get to the top of the cliff, and me being the good youth pastor I was like, you know, we'll let the kids go down, and I'll make sure they get down safe. Wow, lying as a youth pastor. Okay, so we get them down the cliff, but the whole time you're like freaking out on the inside, right? You're panicking. You're like, what am I doing? Okay, why am I here? What is this? Okay? And so I finally get to the edge of this cliff, and I'll never forget the experience, because I should explain it this way. I think my body was like, excuse me, sir, you're not supposed to go off the edge of a cliff, okay? So I'm trying to like get off this cliff, and they tell you to do an L shape, which sounds great until you're hanging in the sky, okay? So I'm trying to get down, and I just couldn't get myself over the cliff at first. So, and I'm trying not to look like an idiot in front of these 8 students who are going to go retell it to the entire youth group and the whole world. So I'm trying to get down this cliff. Well, Dutch, he's a pro. He's been rappelling for longer than I've been alive, okay? And Dutch is telling me what to do, and I have the audacity in my head to think, Dutch, what are you talking about? You have no idea. Right? Like, Dutch is like, just like, hold the rope like this. And I'm thinking, I'll die if I do that. So we're going back and forth and back and forth. And finally, I start to listen to Dutch because, surprise, the trainer knows what he's talking about. And I finally start to get going down this cliff. See, I learned an important lesson that day, that I do this with God all the time. See, following God sounds fantastic until we actually start having to follow him. And then God asks us to do things that feel like jumping off a cliff. Things that take us out of our comfort zone. Talking to people that are completely different than us. Doing things that make us feel uncomfortable. Asking us to sacrifice time and comfort for his mission and his life. And when we do that, it feels like jumping off a cliff. And we have the audacity to challenge God. To question God, no, that wouldn't work. But God's the one who knows the way. See, this is what Jesus starts to explain in the rest of Matthew 16. After he gets done talking to his disciples, it says this: "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it do for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory and his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Jesus says, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever wants to follow me, must deny themselves and pick up their cross. I don't know about you, but I really love the warm feeling verses where Jesus is like, "I'm going to help you." And then these verses that say, "Deny yourself and pick up your cross." I like to gloss over those a little bit because it's uncomfortable. But the reality is, if we are going to find the way in life, the right way to live, the way that God asks us to come on, we need to start by jumping head first into whatever God asks, no matter what it is, what the situation is, how we feel about it. If God asks us to do something, we should jump into it. See, now what does this look like? It means that we make living out God's will our everything. We make living out God's will our everything. This doesn't mean that we never do anything fun, okay? It doesn't mean that God's like, never watch football ever again and only be in the church building, okay? That is not what this is saying. And it's not saying don't have fun, don't do things that you love. God made things on this earth for us to enjoy, and he wants us to enjoy them. But what it means is that everything we do sits under the purpose of serving God, putting God and Jesus at the center of absolutely everything we do. That we go to work not just to make money, not just to find success, but to go and serve the will of God wherever we go. To make disciples of Christ wherever we go. To point people to Jesus wherever we go. That we raise our family, not just so that we can have a nice, fun family, but so that we know Jesus and our kids grow to love Jesus and do the same. So that we can be a light for Jesus to them. It means that absolutely everything that we do in our life sits under the purpose of serving Jesus. And listen, I know that's not easy. And we're going to fall short at that all the time. Just because I'm standing here this morning, some of you know me from past years, you know that I did not follow Jesus well my whole life. Okay, I made mistakes. And I still do. I probably did this morning. Just ask my wife. Okay, I still make mistakes. We all will make mistakes. We will all fall short of this. But the beautiful thing about what Jesus is saying here is not saying, deny yourself, and if you fail, it's over. Jesus is saying, deny yourself in the sense of continuing to do it. So when we fall short and we realize it, God always is there with open arms saying, it's okay. I know you forgot to jump yesterday, but the cliff is still here. And I'm telling you that my way is better than whatever you're trying to do right now. In my life, I wish I would have learned this sooner. Because I spent a lot of time pretending to be living for Jesus. And all I was really doing was trying to make myself look a lot cooler. And all I was doing was trying to serve my will. And I still do. There's still days. I would love to tell you that I don't struggle with this every single day. But there are still days where I'm constantly having to fight my own arrogance and my own selfishness. It is a part of being fallen, but that is why we need Jesus. Because it's through Jesus that that door is always open. And it's through Jesus that we can always take that step. Jumping headfirst into whatever God asks is always an open option. And so I don't know what, I would love to say I know each and every one of your lives. I don't, okay? Especially because I've only been coming here now for a couple weeks since I've left LifePoint. So I don't know all of your lives or what's going through. And some of you may be sitting here right now and saying, you don't know what God is asking me to do. And what I would always say to our students and the people at LifePoint when I was there was that you are perfectly right. I do not know everything God is asking you to do. But I do know who my God is. I do know who Jesus is. And I do know whatever he's asking you to do, it's far better than anything else you could do. This is exactly what Jesus says in the next part of the passage. In verse 25, you don't have to go there, I'm just going to reread it here for a second. It says, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Then it goes on to talk about how Jesus will return one day, that everything that we've worked so hard for will come to realize fully in a way that we've never realized before. See, my wife and I, we watch the show Shark Tank occasionally. I don't know, how many of you guys have ever seen this show? Anybody? Okay. So I like Shark Tank. It's fun to watch these mean entrepreneurs question these sad people trying to start things. Okay, so I enjoy watching it. It's great. And you learn some stuff, right? And so if you don't know the premise of the show, basically it's these people showing up with their ideas. And you can have great ideas that'll change the world, or less good ideas like scented pancakes. Okay, so anything from those two ranges. People show up, and then these entrepreneurs come in, and they basically grill them, trying to find out, will I get a return for my money if I invest in this person? Will what I give to them come back? See, here's the crazy thing about Jesus. Jesus is doing the same thing with us in the fact that he's standing before us like any of those clients, advertising what his plan is, what his way is. He allows us to question him. He allows us to investigate him, to pursue him. But the crazy thing about Jesus is that he needs nothing from us. He invites us into this plan, into this way, for no reason other than the fact that he loves each and every single one of us more than we could ever imagine. He says, "I don't need any finances, anything from you, and I can do this with or without you, but I want you to be a part of it." See, Jesus invites us on an incredible journey, an incredible way that will be unexpected, and I'm not going to promise you that following Jesus means that your life is going to be perfect, because that is not true. Jesus is very clear about it right here. That there are going to be hard times, difficult times, stressful times, straining times, but all of them are worth it. Because Jesus allows us to go through all of that for a reason. And his way is truly the right way. And so if I've learned anything in my short time in life here, if I can share anything with you here this morning, it would just be that you remember this. That we find the way by giving up our way. Give up your way. I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're fighting with God right now. I don't know what way you're trying to live that isn't what God's called us to do. But if you truly want to find your way in life, you want to find that right way in this complex world, you want to actually change the community that exists around you. As a church, you want to change the world around you and bring people to Jesus. We all need to start giving up our way and looking for his way. Finding his way, jumping into whatever he asks us to do. And so I encourage you to do that this morning. I don't know what that way is for you. I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your situations, but I do know whatever Jesus is asking you to do, whatever he's inviting you to do, you still have the chance to jump onto it. You still have a chance to jump headfirst into it. And I know it is better for you than anything else you can find.